Okay, I think we need to start everybody.
Yeah.
We'd like to begin our school board meeting. It is now 6 p.m., 24th of August, 2010, and this is our regularly scheduled board meeting. We welcome all of you tonight, and we've got quite a group. And so we hope you enjoy your stay here with us. And we have a lot of business to conduct, and so we'll begin with a Pledge of Allegiance by Board Member Christy Cooley.
Please arise. Repeat the Pledge of Allegiance with me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our first item on the agenda will be our public comment. Let me introduce that topic. There are a number of you who have signed up to make comment tonight. We appreciate those who have taken time from their busy schedules to help inform the board of any concerns and hopes. And we understand the difficult situation we're all in during these economic times. Please know that we are anxious to hear your thoughts, but due to constraints of time, each individual must limit his or her comments to 3 minutes. If you have a group that you're representing, to present your ideas, you must ask that this be limited to 5 minutes. Board members will not respond to your comments, but we assure you we will listen, and as a group, we'll give our input to the superintendent to add our input to the negotiated process that we know will be followed. There is a procedure in place for this, for the negotiations. Because we have outside presenters tonight and want to honor their time, we'll need to keep public comments to about 30 minutes max now. If there are more that want to make comments later, we can reopen that. So let's begin on the list. The first person is Donna Westrich. Donna, is she here? Yes, you need to come. All of you need to come to the microphone, since this is a recorded board meeting.
Hi, my name is Donna Westrick. I'm a teacher at Mount Logan Middle School, and I just want to bring the attention of the board to the number of teachers in this room, and to reiterate that we want steps and lanes. We know that the legislature has come up with ways to make that money available to us, and that you can fund steps and lanes if you work with the legislature, and I urge you to work with the legislature, find that money, and give us the steps and lanes that we have worked for and deserve. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. Next we have Lee Birmingham. Lee.
I'm Lee Birmingham, pottery teacher at Logan High School. And first off, I'd like to apologize. I'm in the middle of firing some kilns and making some pots at the high school, so I just ran over here. I'm going to run back. But we have a situation where you, as a board, have the opportunity to either vote for steps and lanes and express a financial trust in the teachers of your district, or on the other hand, if you do not fund steps and lanes, let me give you an example. As a long-term veteran teacher, I'm at the twilight of my educational career. It won't have much impact on me. For a new teacher coming into the district, if you do not fund steps, and an average step, say, is $1,000 between, say, year one and year two, and you do not make that up by funding two steps to make up for the missed step this year, then basically, over the lifetime of a new teacher's career, you will have cost that teacher over $30,000 in lifetime compensation. Not only do you affect their income this year, but you affect their income for their entire educational career and their retirement benefits. That is a consideration that you need to keep in mind. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lee. Next, I'm not sure I can read the last name. It's Tom. Can you read that?
Tom Perpernick.
Perpernick. Sorry, Tom.
I get it all the time.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Tom Perpernick. I am the PE specialist at Woodruff Elementary. This is my ninth year there, believe it or not. I am a classified employee, and the steps and ladders also affects us as classified employees. As the PE specialist there, I teach my own curriculum. I feel that it is an important position in the school. Our kids need to be physically fit. It is incredibly important for us as classified employees also to continue to have the steps and ladders. At Woodruff, we are one of the largest elementary schools in the district. Having the steps and ladders is equally important to us as it is anyone else. So just wanted to let you know that it isn't important to us too. So thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Next, Laura Sawyer.
My name is Laura Sawyer, and I teach first grade at Woodruff Elementary. This is my 21st year. Last year, teachers actually did experience a cut in their salary due to the 6 professional development days that were taken away from us. For me personally, that was about a $2,000 pay cut. I was able to make a step last year, and had that not been granted last year, it would have been a $4,000 pay cut for me. So, without these steps and lane changes, we feel that we're being cut again in our salaries. And we look at that as a benefit that we've come to count on, even though I realize it's a negotiated item every year. But we hope that we can find a way to retain its integrity.
Thank you, Laura. These are the only ones on the list. Anyone else this time? Okay. With that in mind, then, I'd like to thank those who have given comments tonight. Now, for the past 2 years, we, like all districts in this state, as well as throughout the nation, have had to make reductions that are threatening our very ability to provide quality education. I think we all realize that. Our teachers, administrators, and other staff have been asked to do more with less, and that's not a good thing. This is a concern we heard from you tonight, and please know we are aware of this concern. The information we've been given from our legislative representatives is that the economy is not growing, and that is probably going to be over the next foreseeable years. It's been given our legislative representatives that the economy is not going to grow, that tax payments are lower than predicted, and we hear that in all probability we're in for even more cuts next year and the year beyond. As a board, we are responsible to our public as well as to our employees. We want to make sure that we try and even anticipate the needs of both groups. Our commitment is to do all we can to balance these needs, both present and in the future. That will probably mean we will not be able to meet every group's specific needs at this time. There is a negotiation process that needs to be followed per the negotiated agreement. We honor this process, but we'd like you to understand that we are committed to helping in every way we can to make sure that there is a clear resolution of this issue. The resolution process is not meant to be a slighting of any group or of employees, but a means to resolve differences. Our commitment to you is to keep working through this until we can come to an equitable resolution, and we sincerely mean that. All right. Thank you. Let's move on now to the next part of our board agenda. We have some presenters here this evening. Tom Schuster from Spectrum and Title I Math Coordinator Barbara Child will be talking with us about partnership opportunities with IRIS. And I'm not sure what the acronym IRIS stands for, and we're probably going to find out.
We told Tom Schuster that that was the number one question everybody had.
Yes.
What does IRIS stand for? I also asked Barbara to make sure that Tom's presentation is on the portal, so she may need help from one of you if we can't get that out. But
It is. If you'll go into the, it's under Professional Learning, the tab Professional Learning, and it'll say iris.pdf under the portal.
We've enjoyed a rich history with Spectrum Consulting over the last few years. They have brought in millions of dollars to our school district, helping us write federal grants, and have been a part of what many people know as the 21st Century Grant, as well as our Teaching American History Grant, which many of the teachers that are in the room today have been a part of those grants that have, as they've happened over the past few years. Tom Schuster, I think most of you know that we did not get the Race to the Top funding, but because of our relationship with Spectrum Consulting, they were a part of a grant, a Race to the Top grant that was awarded to the state of Tennessee. The state of Tennessee is also partnering with the Bill Gates Foundation, and Tom stopped into my office a few weeks ago. It was pretty busy with teachers and lots of needs that were coming in, and I thought he was a salesman, so I gave him the ultimate brush off of he could leave his card. And I've worked extensively with the people that work for Tom Schuster, so he, you know, as he said, do you know who I am, do you know who works for me, I backpedaled and said, oh, come on, sit down. We have an opportunity that he's going to explain for us to come on the coattails of the state of Tennessee.
You have it. I have it. Some have it. Some don't have it.
Do you want to watch it from... Well, yeah.
There is an image on the screen, not probably. It's just an image.
If you refresh your computer, it should come up.
In giving this background about how this happened, again, we're being invited to be on a small scale a part of this project with the state of Tennessee and the Bill Gates Project. A lot of this stems from the work that happened with the Math Academy that you were aware of for last year, and Barbara and their relationship that they have with a company which is SDE, which stands for Staff Development for Educators. And again, because of that relationship with Logan City School District, they're also a part of that. So as Tom was explaining this to me, I did feel like it was important for Tom to speak to the details as well as define for us what IRIS means and what that will look like. I will tell you that I think we are on the wave of a new technology and a new way of looking at things and providing feedback and support. So, Tom, if you're ready, I think we've got this up for you.
Very good. Thank you very much. I appreciate your kind words and introduction. One of the things that I wanted to mention in looking at the background of this project, we have been involved Spectrum Consulting and then as a spinoff company called There Now for about 5 years in the development of this particular technology. It comes from the background of, from my wife's background. Some of you may know Debbie Hobbs, and she was a professor at USU, is now working full-time with us. So we had been involved a lot in teacher training, and it's an issue that we think is very important. There's been a lot of interest in teacher training over the years. And we were funded at about at $1.3 million from the U.S. Department of Ed to develop the technology that we'll be talking about, that we'll be kind of briefly explaining here. Oh, and by the way, let me answer the IRIS question. It doesn't stand for anything other than IRIS. There's no acronym. IRIS as in I. It's, there's a camera involved, so that's kind of how it all fits.
Know your wife's name.
What's that?
Know your wife's name.
No. No, nothing that exciting, just Iris. And But anyway, so we had received $1.3 million, a little over that, to start to develop this, and we've been working on it over the past 5 years. Also, just, and again, I have to go very quickly, but there's been a great deal of interest in the use of the Internet for professional development and other things related to teachers. How can we bring teachers together? How can we train teachers? How can we make teachers more effective? Because, again, there's been an increasing interest in recognition that it's the teacher that's the most important thing in the classroom. They're the ones that make the difference in really achievement. I think researchers have come to that conclusion. And then you have a lot of other people, Bill Gates being one of them. We literally, last year, he was giving a speech, and he literally described our product. He said, we need something like this. He didn't know about us, I don't think, at that point. But he literally described what we're doing. So again, this recognition of teacher training, recognition of the use of the Internet, and trying to use them in a way that would be very beneficial. There are many ways we could talk about this, but the specific project, you have some folks who are specialists in math, SDE, that have been working with your teachers in Singapore math. You have teachers then that are interested in implementing that and making sure that they're doing it correctly. There's been a lot of frustration in the past with professional development programs that are these intensive three-day workshops, or just these kind of, some people call them drive-by workshops, just kind of drive-by and that's it. We had to do it. I've done plenty of them. Debbie's done plenty of them, because that's what we had to do in the past. Well, we were frustrated with it. The field has become frustrated with it. In fact, the National Staff Development Council has said, stop that. Let's not do that anymore. Let's look at some other alternatives. And so this is one that I think when the Department of Ed looked at it, they said, look, let's look at this. We also have attracted attention of the Gates Foundation. They found out about us. They called us up. Now we've been to Seattle twice and met with the top people in their foundation. We do meet with the high-level folks of the Department of Ed. Can't promise anything, never can in the worlds of grants and so forth. But I think that if Logan, in this small pilot, jumps on this, it would be something that I think will attract the attention of Department of Ed, other foundations, and really it could be very exciting and put Logan on the cutting edge. Okay, so how does this all work very simply? If you look at your picture there, the two most important things we have are the pictures of the, on the right-hand side, the teacher, and on the left-hand side, let's call it a coach. Now that person, this would be in the specific case of Logan, you would have a Logan teacher who would volunteer for this. This is not something where we sneak the camera in and it's just sitting in the back of the room. There's not a camera in every room. There's one camera in a school. We don't just sneak it in and, you know, look at you. That the teacher and the professional development person, this coach, have to have a professional relationship where the teacher said, you know what, I've got to get better at this, I want to get better at this, and I think you can help me. So that's the foundation of all this. Now, all the other stuff that happens is just really trying to bring these two people together in a professional relationship to improve teaching. Okay. So how this all starts is with that relationship, and then literally what happens is the two go on the computer. We have a program. Part of the program is a calendaring program, and they set up an appointment. So, okay, this Thursday at 10 o'clock, the teacher is going to move Iris into the room. All he or she has to do is plug it into the wall, plug it into the Internet, open Iris up, and there's a microphone, and they put a microphone on. That's it. Step back. You don't have to do, there's nothing complicated, no computers to log into or anything. They just step back. Well, simultaneously, the person here, the coach, is going to be logging onto their computer. It could be in the same school. It could be in the district. It could be someone from within the state. It could be someone from anywhere, literally in the country or world. They log on. It's all permissioned. Everything's there. So they are now together. Okay, what happens when that connection's made? IRIS is able to, there's a camera inside there that allows that consultant to zoom around the classroom 360 degrees. They can look anywhere they like. They can focus up to 48 times, so they could read things on the wall. You could read that list back there very, very easily from wherever you are. And also, because of the microphones, the consultant can hear what's going on in the classroom. So they can see and hear what's happening, just as if they were standing in the back of the room. The nice thing is, though, is IRIS, just, it's about the size of a coffee pot. And so the kids, and we've used this a lot, the kids very quickly, it just becomes, it disappears. It's like a lamp sitting there. So then when the consultant gets the images, she can look at what's happening in the classroom, and the observer then can do several things. They can make notes, written notes. They can do verbal notes. Now, the teacher wouldn't hear that right at that point, but they could be doing a kind of a stream of consciousness, and all this would be wedded with the video. It would be time-stamped with the video, meaning that if I make a comment, I like the way you started the classroom out or whatever, that would be time-stamped so the teacher could later click on it and see the video about which you made that comment. Okay, so it's very kind of cool that way. The other, so all of that information then is compiled at the end of this lesson. It's all kind of wrapped up. The teacher then, she's the only one, that teacher is the only one who has the password or the permissioning to view that video. The principal can't do it. No one else can do it. The teacher is the only one that can control that process. Very important. So essentially that's it. Now there's one other interaction that's quite interesting, and it's probably research-based, and my background is in, I have a PhD in psychology, research evaluation method, so I look into these things. One of the best way to have to actually to really change teacher behavior is something we call, it sounds a little strange, the bug in the ear device. Okay. Now what can happen there is really in a live setting, the teacher, one of their goals might be, let's just say for example, one effective thing for controlling a classroom, as the teachers in here would know, is you need to move around the classroom. Okay, so it might be that I notice as an observer the teacher isn't moving enough. So I might say, move to the back. You know, and so then they move to the back, and then all of a sudden they see, well, gosh, the behavior's improving. And so they see it right there. They say, if I do that, I get a better result right now. Now, we have a woman from the University of Pennsylvania who's done extensive research in this. And so anyway, that's kind of the flavor. That's probably all the time I have. But that's essentially what would happen. So we'd have a SDE expert who is an expert in Singapore math hooking up with your teachers, the volunteer teachers, and over the internet at a distance would be providing either live feedback, or they can also just record it and then later make the comments and send it to the teacher. So that's the basics. Any questions about that? Right. Yeah, so you have coaches that have already been here in the district, like Char, that works with Singapore Math. So your teachers already know her. So you already have that. You have some of those folks with that relationship. So this is a pilot test. How many teachers will be participating?
Three
teachers.
Have volunteered.
Yeah, have volunteered to do this. And so that's the overall picture. Very exciting. There are a lot of implications. There are a lot of other things that you can do down the road with this. But I'll stop. And do you have any questions about this whole process?
I do. Have you used this in other areas? Is this an initial pilot? You know, where are you in this?
No.
Process?
Yeah, we have used a lot. We've used it a lot. We're now most of our initial work here in the United States has been with research universities. We have a partnership with Harvard. There are several projects we're working on with Harvard where they're using IRIS in this way. There's a center, in fact, it's at Harvard, the Center for the National Center for Teacher Effectiveness. We're working with them. We have a project. We have projects going with the New Teacher Center out of California, and that would be for teacher induction. And now this is, I personally think this is a very powerful thing. So we're working with them. We have a lot of installations in the UK. Ogden received an earmark, one of those earmarks from Rob Bishop, and I think and Senator Hatch, and they're going to be installing an iris in every school. And so that will be going on. So we do have a lot of experience. Like I say, we've been doing this now for about 5 years, and we're just now getting out there and kind of commercializing it in that sense. But this will cost the district no money. SD is going to volunteer their time. We're donating the equipment, and we just want to look at it in a way SDE wants to look at it and say, is this something that we want to use? They have literally told us in some conversations, this has the potential to change the whole way we do business. And it has the potential, people at the Department of Ed said, this is revolutionary in teacher professional development. Think about some things. The teacher doesn't have to leave the classroom. So there's no release, there's no substitute. One of the other problems, when I was up at the university at Edith Bowen as a research development guy up there, one of the problems we had is people would say, yeah, you can do it up at Edith Bowen because it's all professor kids, but you can't do that here in my school. So all of a sudden we're giving professional development right there at Adams School. And these people are doing it, and they're seeing it work with their kids, and it changes their beliefs, and they say, boy, this is really fantastic. So there's been a lot of use of it, but it will spread. Any other questions?
Oh, I have one more.
Sure. No, that's fine.
Okay.
I know you have the permission from the teacher.
Yes.
I know there have always been questions, videotaping children.
Yeah.
How do we deal with that?
Well, in fact, when we got our funding, the second set of funding from the Department of Ed, they gave it to us in two batches. This is typical. The first 100,000 and then another 750,000. And our project officer said, we're not going to give you the 750,000 unless you adequately answer for us with the first 100,000. Whether is this legal? Can we do this? What are the implications and so forth? So we spent, I think, about 30 grand on a fancy law firm back in Washington, D.C., Brustein and Manassevitt. They're education specialists. And essentially what the worst case scenario that you can look at is that students would have to get active permission. Now, it really depends on the board, and that's why I think what you guys need to do is look at it and look at this pilot. I would probably recommend we get active permission in the classrooms we're in. However, there are many school districts and states even. Think about this. We use a lot of distance education. Same thing's going on. Kids' images are being captured and so forth. And interestingly enough, it's not the image, it's the speech that is the big thing. It's the wiretap laws that you have to get around. But there are lots of schools and people in. We talked to a woman who runs distance education in Nebraska, and they just have a blanket permission form. And she said in all past 20 years, one or two people have objected to it. But it's a big issue. We can get around it. And it shouldn't. This is not the kind of thing that the kind of security we use around this video is the same as you would use with your bank. Literally, and I've been told, and I'm not a real technical guy, but I've been told that if you actually went up to the wire and spliced into it, and you had your computer there, you still could not see the video images. So it's extremely safe. But those are the technical issues, I think, with that we can work out with your technical folks. But we have looked into that extensively. We believe it's safe, and I think a lot of our partners that are starting to use it believe it's safe. Good question, though. Yes, sir.
Now, you talked about the relationship between the teacher and the observer as being critical.
Yes.
So if I've got a teacher who is new to this and doesn't know the observer, how do they make that connection? How do they get to become so they're comfortable sharing, stuff that I don't ordinarily show everybody?
Sure. Yeah, it's a very, it could potentially be a scary, you have to trust the process that this is seriously going to be kept at a professional level and so forth, and you have to believe that person has something to share with you. And I think your question is kind of, it's an empirical question now, you know, put on the PhD hat. The question is, you know, I can't tell you for sure. I think that the best situation is like what we'll have here, where Char has already been out. Now, these teachers know Char, correct? And that's the best of all worlds, where they know her. They probably participated in a workshop with her and have read her material and so forth and say, boy, I believe that person could help me. The other question, so I think that's the best way to do it. The other thing is we cannot just, let's not think just about outside people, but you have master teachers here in your district. That person could be a master teacher at one school working with that person. They could meet somewhere. They could visit classrooms. That person, the person that's being coached, could observe the master teacher in their classroom. You could reverse that role. And they could say, wow, they are good. That's what I like to teach like. And I like to be like that. So there's all kinds of ways to form these relationships. I also believe, and I don't want to get, they won't be involved in this project, but I think there's a place here for, I'll throw out the word, video conferencing or telepresence, where people can meet over the internet on video. I think that's empirical. We have to study that. In fact, that's one of the studies we're proposing, is how do those relationships form. But that's the bedrock. Without that, it won't work.
No, can't work.
All the technology is just the means of getting these people together. That's all it is.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions from the board?
Okay, sure.
I think when we visited, again, once I figured out he wasn't a salesman and he was actually benefiting us for free, one of the things that Barbara and I both express strong feelings about it, but it is totally voluntary. Teachers have a right to refusal, so if it's not feeling like they expected it to feel, we're very open to modifying that and changing that. I liked when Tom talked about the privacy between the two people, and it won't be used, like it's not a gotcha or a candid camera moment where then the principal swoops in later as an evaluation point. It really is voluntary in the sense of, you know, they've seen and heard Char, and she's phenomenal with what she does. They want to try something out and have that person that they really regard kind of talk them through or give them feedback on how that works, so they have opportunity for practice that's scaffolded with somebody that they trust. And so, again, as Barbara and I talked about how to establish those trusting relationships, we did feel like completely voluntary is the way to stay with this project, because I think as that works for people, more people will talk about that and maybe modify the way Tom's talked about, with maybe teachers wanting to watch each other and figuring that out. But that's not part of our initial design. Our initial design is, again, totally voluntary. This is a very simplistic way that it will work, and I believe that when it feels powerful and it feels like it really is impacting instruction, that people will be very hungry for that.
How long will we be doing this initially?
Well, you know, I think that's probably open. You know, I don't know exactly how it will develop, but I would be, I think initially we're planning on probably 3 or 4 months. But if that's not enough, if we're seeing like people, if the teachers want more of this, then I think we could extend it potentially for the entire school year. And then we'll also be, as Spectrum Consulting, we'll be looking around for money and opportunity, because again, we are working with the Gates Foundation has introduced us to Tennessee. They were the largest. And now today, there were just another whole set of states were announced. And I sat next to Tom Kane, who runs the Gates Foundation program, and he wants to introduce us to every state that gets funded. And so I think if we can bring Gates people here to see what's happening, in Ogden, it's going to be slightly different. We're doing some things in Ogden. They have this coaching program in place. But I think that Let's let it go. We could get up to a whole year, and then we'll be looking for funding and other opportunities. Can't promise anything, but I think there's a very good possibility we could. There could be some interesting funding opportunities developed. But I wouldn't want you to make any decision based on that, because that can't be promised. But I would base it on, you know, what we have. So.
Say we did at the end of this time, we felt this was going to be a viable assistance to the teachers. Would it always remain voluntary?
I can't really answer that for, you know, okay. Down the road. When we sat down and talked about it, my feeling is it needs to be voluntary. I don't know after Marshall's gone or the Superintendent Garrett. I mean, when you say always, Lynn, yeah. I think that would be at the direction of the superintendent. And
the expectation at this point, we have tried with all of our staff development and professional learning opportunities for teachers to grow, and that's how we would approach this right. On a continuing basis. It would not be an expectation. With new teachers, we may want to look at this as a new professional development model. And as we look at the I program and the ability to do some things, how do we get mentor and their the person that they're over working with each other? Because we've been trying to figure out how to do time. I think that there are some opportunities there that we may want to have some encouragement for new teachers that are coming in that are brand new, that have not had experience. But again, those discussions will be only after we know what the data shows on this. Okay. The data shows it's strong, then we start looking at that. But we have to safeguard. This is not something to be used in a negative way. It is allowing for opportunities for excellence. That's all we would ever want.
And I would hope by the time we get to that place, this is something teachers are saying, I want to work with Char. I want to work with Char. I want to work with Barbara or a co-teacher or whoever, that it's not ever seen as something mandatory. I know that there have been discussions in other states, but I know our superintendent well enough to know that that would be a very collaborative conversation with teachers and the other. And nowhere in my conversation have we had that even inkling of saying it's mandatory or anything other than really hoping that missionary effort works, so people are saying, pick me. I do see it being opportunity. We just had a fabulous training on the Big Eight that I heard a lot of teachers give positive feedback on. So I see other subject matter with other professionals that might broaden as teachers see that and say, well, I really don't need Singapore support, but I'd like this. And I think it would be a beautiful thing for our brand new teachers, first 3 years of teaching, to be able to have a menu of choices of people that they could pair up with and have that feedback. I think there are a lot of, like I said, enrichment missionary opportunities that could be fulfilled.
I think if I were a teacher, I would be a little bit concerned that not gravitate into a high-level teacher evaluation process. That's one of the things I think as a teacher you ought to be very aware of, and I think that'd be a big concern if you were teachers. At least if I were a teacher, I'd have that question.
And I know, Fred, that's never been discussed, not with Tom and not with Marshall. So, and again, the fact that it's totally voluntary, I think takes care of that. And even with the relationship between the coach and the teacher, if it's not feeling beneficial, they have the right to refusal.
Okay. Any
and
other
I would
comments?
Just like to comment that I think that it needs to be very well or made the parents of the children are aware of the situation, yeah. And that they have given permission, because that is really something that we need to get their buy-in as well.
The nice thing about that permission slip is it's not published. So it's not like that video is going to show up in Tennessee or on the Ed website, or it's between the teacher and the coach.
But nonetheless, they still need to be made aware of that's the situation that's going on.
We've done that. We've honored that in the past, and I believe that, as you stated, Tom, that would be the appropriate way to go.
And then we actually, if this issue has come up, and say that if there is a student who the parents don't want them to participate, there are ways that we can set up the camera that has a 230-degree kind of angle. And again, it depends on, well, there are several. This you would point, and we would just have students who can't participate sit in a certain area, and they would not be they would not be filmed it at all. And really, most of this is really focusing on the teacher. So the students that you're going to catch can be incidental to the main thing. I don't really. Well, it could happen. You know, if you have student response and you want to look at what students are doing, what their work is, they could be a focus. But I mean, generally, we're looking at the teacher. We're not really looking at the kids.
But that would have to go above and beyond just the blanket.
There would be a specific for that teacher sending out to those parents of those children in that classroom.
Yeah, they're like passive permissioning and active permissioning. Probably, and this would definitely be an active permission. That's what I would recommend. I'm not making the decisions, but that's what I would recommend.
Okay, any other comments? Thank you, Robin and Tom, for your presentation.
Thank you.
Very informative. Appreciate that. Barbara, as well, and your input. Okay. Could we get the lights again? I think we probably want those. Unless Eric and Bryce, are you going to need that?
Yeah.
As well? So we leave the lights off, I guess. Right? Sorry about that. Okay, Eric and Bryce, we'd like you to present for us the summer discovery program.
All right. We're pleased to be here. This last summer, we're going to show you a video here in just a minute. This last summer, we held a summer discovery program specifically targeting the kids who are going to come into our discovery program. Of our 72 kids that we have right now, 48 of them came through this summer. We spent 2 weeks with them, getting to know them, creating some relationships and rapport with them. And as we all know, all the research shows that there is a regression during the summer month of learning. But in our case, we know very well that our kids came in, they spent 2 very powerful weeks of learning with us, and not only are we now hitting the ground running with these kids, but they're feeling confident and comfortable, and our discovery kids have been kind of handpicked as kids that may struggle a little bit in that transition from a one-teacher elementary school into our big middle school setting.
One thing I'd like to add is we were up on top of Naomi Peak with one of our groups, and we met this woman that was up there hiking, and she said, "No, what are you guys?" Because clearly we weren't just, you know, random people going through. And we said, "Well, Mount Logan Middle School summer programs." And she said, "Oh, I teach 6th grade up in Preston," and we talked to her for a little bit. And then she looked at me and she said, "What do you do? Teach them plants?" And we said, "No, we're a literacy program. We both had science teaching background, but this is a literacy program. That's what we spend almost every bit of our efforts on. The science is brought in on the side, and we still teach the science and the social studies, but the bread and butter and the meat of this program is literacy, and it's been a great joy for us to be able to do this. So if you can see the screen behind you, sound should be on. This is 6 weeks of summer for you condensed here. Pray for strength.
troubles come your way. And when you dream, dream big, as big as the ocean. When you dream, it might come true. When you dream, dream big.
Walls on the side. We get closer. It feels like we're going to get sucked down a big hole.
I kneel down in front of the boat and hold on as tight as I can. The first waves splash us so hard, I could feel the ice-cold water splash against my warm body. I swallow a lot of water. Then I'm crossing my fingers that it's over, but there's still more. I still have the thrill.
We just want to thank you for the opportunity of letting kids have that. The writings you just heard read are written by 11-year-olds. And 11-year-olds who probably traditionally have not done that well. In fact, one of the questions I ask them is, I say, did you know what a good writer you were? And they'll go, no, I didn't. Getting them in that rich environment. Just a few statistics here. We served 48 students this last summer. 86 hour contact hours. We were with the kids. That doesn't count the in the tent sleep time. That's actually working directly with the kids. We get them up at 7 in the morning. We put them to get to bed about 10:30 that night. And it's contact hours from beginning to end. Students made 45 to 50 journal entries. There's a book that we wrote just for this trip. It's called Vision Quest of Shy Fox. And each story is written for a location on the journey. There's a story written for the top of Mount Naomi. There's a story written for Lee Lake. There's a story written for Taggart Lake. There's a story written about going through the Big Kahuna. So the book was written specifically for these kids and for this. And we put that together. We really, truly appreciate the funding. This last year, actually 2009, we were independently funded through Multicultural Ventures Outdoor Foundation. Last year, we were funded 80% through the 21st Century Grant and then additional funding by the Multicultural Outdoors Adventure and Camp Chef. And next year, with our EPA grant, we're already about 80% funded toward running this program again next year. Normally, we run two-week sessions, but this summer, because the 4th and the 24th fill on weekends, we're able to just run that right through and get even more kids out and give them a running start on the school year with... How long have we been with these kids? A couple months? Well, it's been 3 days.
3 days.
3 days, these kids are already just off to a running start and doing phenomenal work already. Good attitudes and some good work that we're seeing out of them already. So we're really, really pleased with that.
We had a letter from one of the... If we have an extra spot, what we'll do, we try to fill it with incoming sixth graders with the costumes we had the previous year. Ask them if they'd like to come and serve as a mentor. It works. It's very effective to have them. Someone we've had a year with in working with them in their writing, that we would sit down after going through Big Kahuna, for example. They'll share their writing and the other kids, aha, I get it. I understand.
Are you going to share a name?
I wasn't going to.
Okay, don't. The reason being, the little girl who's writing here, she went with us last year. As an incoming fifth grader, she came back as a mentor, and her mom came along with us up there. This little gal, when we called her a year ago to come in the summer, her mother said, we're still trying to decide because we may hold her back in fifth grade for another year. Now, we all know sometimes that's necessary, but oh, it's devastating. It's hard on a kid to be held back. They know. So she came with us in the summer, had a great... great experience, then came with us during the school year and just blossomed. She just blossomed, and her mother was thrilled with the progress she's made.
And so her mother just wrote a letter, and I won't read the whole thing, but she basically was saying, you know, I had my daughter in your class all of last year, and she said, I guess I didn't fully understand what you guys do and how it works until I came with you this summer. And so with that, we just, again, want to extend an open invitation to any of you from the school board or district to come along next summer with us and did a field. We tried to capture it the best we could with the pictures, and the helmet cam is new this year. So I'd like to take a quick moment. The book that we read has evolved over the summers, and Bryce has been just amazing for me to work with. He wrote what is called The Vision Quest of Shy Fox, and it's a story of a young Native American, and it's this vision quest, and the stories take place in all the locations that we go. So when we're going up High Creek, we're reading about Shy Fox in High Creek. When we're up on the Snake River in the Tetons, we're reading about Shy Fox in the Tetons. It's a great thing. So I just wanted to show this to you and share that with you. And then when we were up at High Creek, the last time Dave and Bryce and I were talking after we got the kids to bed, and we were... 11 o'clock, and we were figuring...
When they go to bed, they go to sleep. They're tired.
Bryce has been at this a lot longer than I have, taking the kids up and over, and Dave and I sometimes tag team out, and we have other things going on this summer. But we figured out that Bryce has now taken well over 300 kids up High Creek, camped at High Creek Lake, summited Mount Naomi, the highest point in the Bear River Range, over about the last 10 years. So Dave and I decided we were going to make you a plaque, right? That's something to be proud of. So on the top, it has a quote by Lowell Binion. It says, "When love and skill combine, expect a masterpiece." I think of that all the time working with you guys. It says, "In recognition and celebration of Bryce, trail boss Passy, for leading more than 300 students over the top, up High Creek to the highest point in the Bear River Range. He's over the top, not over the hill."
Risk
management-wise,
we're really glad.
I was going to ask you, there are predators, wild animal predators in the hills. Anything that you have protection with you in case anything like that comes up?
Like a gun?
First of all,
just question, just curious.
Bringing 15 kids up a trail, there's no wildlife within 5 miles. But when we get up to Jackson, for instance, where there is a bear issue, that's USAR trailer. Everything's in that. The kids understand all of those safety rules and regulations. The bison you saw there was just really actually that close. And the kids were all behind the vehicles and stuff like that. Part of the thrill for the kids is being that close. We're in a national park and we take all the precautions they give us and such. I don't pack the gun. I keep a bear spray can.
Something like that.
But we're just always very aware. Like the bear you heard the student writing about there. We were in the canoes, swam across the lake in front of us. We actually, I said, "Hey, look, there's a baby moose down there." And then it got out of the water and shook off. I said, "That's not a baby moose." So had an opportunity.
Well, that's what raised my curiosity, that whole story.
Yeah. So, and we're everything we do, everywhere we go, we're very conscious of that. On the river, John Gregory that rows the other boat, he used to be a guide up there. We both cinched those life jackets down on them super tight. I mean, I tell the kids every time, I say, you know, when I'm rafting off, people come to me and say, "Oh, I'm a strong swimmer, I don't need a life jacket." And I say, "No, you need a life jacket." And we explain to the kids how you figure the volume of the river and the amount of force that's involved there and how no one's stronger.
One of the things we always do in the backcountry especially is one adult is the leader. Kids are never allowed to be the leader. And one adult is in the rear. Walk at a pace where we're all in one big group. If we come around a bend and there happens to be a moose there, which did happen on our hike into Taggart Lake as we were coming down, was a moose just offside. I said, "See that big tree, kid? Stand by it. Watch the ears. If they go down, we run. If they stay up, we're happy." The kids had just a thrill, and finally the moose got tired of looking at us and wandered off and went home. So we're always in a position where we're the first one to go around that next bend to make sure they're safe.
What about the 22 students who did not get involved this summer?
We contact every student has an opportunity and knows about it. And then it usually comes down to, you know, different family conflicts or whatnot. So.
But what it gives us, even though schedule, I'd love to bat 1,000, but what it gives us is such a huge core of kids that know us, we know them, and they set a standard within the classroom. So when we start writing, when we start behaviors, when we'll say things, and I don't know if you noticed our creed that we have there, you know, we're committed to success and persistence, practice, patience. The kids know that, they're drilled on that, and then we start the school year, they'll start saying, hey, we're discovering we don't have like that. You know, teach each other those kinds of things. So when we register them back in March, we give them information about summer, have a registration sheet there for them. Then in June, we'll make calls if there's people that aren't there or if we still have some vacancies. So everyone gets an initial face-to-face contact about it. Then everyone gets at least one phone call. Some people got 3 from me this summer. So there's an opportunity for them. And again, it's just, you know, different, you know, people are busy. And so. So we appreciate the offer. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
You've got to pass that along.
Yeah, let's. Eric and Bryce would like to shake your hands as a board, please.
Okay.
They come back with red.
It was in my head for years, and it came out in 2 weeks.
Well, I would just love to read through it. No, I won't do correct.
Anyone else?
She'll think it though.
They scream at me when I read on. Sure.
I know how that goes.
But I never caught on. I was
thinking. Can't your own stuff.
Okay, that's very much appreciated from both of you. Thanks for your efforts in the behalf of our children and the Logan City School District. Let's move then to our informational part. We'd like a report from our Parent Teacher Association president, Lisa Budge. Lisa here?
I'm not seeing her tonight.
Anyone here that's representing her or substituting? Evidently not. How about then our Logan Classified employees, Cheryl Brown? Cheryl's not here either. Did she have someone to substitute for her? Okay. Logan Education Association, Ray Ann Hansen, she's here. I saw her.
Thank you. It's nice to be here tonight. I think Mr. Schuster left. I wanted to remind him he was in Logan, Utah, and most of us are wondering, how big is a coffee pot?
Yeah, that's a real one, too.
And I want the Discovery Program to know not to worry about the predators because they are all grizzlies in training. So there's no problem there. I also want to thank those that are here tonight in support and hopefully show a presence that we are all interested in actions of the board and what goes on in the board meetings. I know sometimes people have conflicts. I wish everybody could be here every month, but that's kind of hard. Tonight I'd like to introduce, I think you all know I'm Ray Ann Hansen. I'm the president of LEA this year. Joan Keepers is our past president. She's got the biggest smile. And Mike Moudreau, he is our president-elect. So we look forward to working with you. You know, it's hard to believe that we're beginning a new school year already again, but I do believe Logan High probably takes the award this year for the most unusual start of school. As you know, we had quite a scene this year with so many sick teachers as we started the school year. And many of those teachers came to school not quite feeling 100%. But I think that shows the dedication that our teachers have to our students and how much they love their jobs. And I think that's the magic of this district, is the dedication of our administrators, our teachers, our staff, as well as the loyal support of our parents. We want to express our appreciation to you, the school board, and the district office for their continued support and concern for our students, their families, and the employees of the Logan District. We know we are experiencing unprecedented economic conditions. While LEA shares its understanding of the district's financial situation, we must stress that a competitive salary schedule is crucial to retain and recruit top educators. Therefore, honoring the salary schedule, including steps and lanes, is of utmost importance to the employees LEA represents and the district as a whole. LEA believes that steps, or years of experience, are inherent in each educator's contract. When hired by the district, an educator is shown the salary schedule and offered a position on one of the steps and lanes. The professional understanding provides that with each passing year, the educator will progress on the salary schedule according to years of experience and additional professional development. Our teachers experienced a significant loss last year with the elimination of the 6.5 professional development days. We have been willing to take on increased class sizes and added responsibilities. And we feel as a group our teachers have taken their share of the economic cut the last few years. We feel not granting steps undermines respect for our teachers, and not granting steps further weakens the sanctity of the salary schedule and our faith in the future. LEA has tried to make suggestions on alternatives to help balance the budget this year. We invite the district to consider these alternatives. Most other districts in the state, 92% of those that have settled, have found ways to maintain the integrity of their salary schedules, and we believe Logan District can do the same. The teachers of the Logan City School District take a lot of pride in their work and work hard to teach our children. In spite of the cuts we have experienced over the last few years, our teachers have maintained very professional standards in the classroom. We feel there is no other district in the nation that can match ours, and all of us in this room can match our devotion and dedication. I personally take great pride in my job at Logan High and have enjoyed my 21 years in the district. I look forward to continued support and communication through the years to come. We thank you for your time and your great concern and your willingness to work with us through the negotiation process. Thank you.
Thanks, Rayanne. All right, now we have a presentation, a report from Logan City School District Administrator Association, Doug Beach. Oh, Dave, okay. Looked a little different, Doug Beach, so come on up.
Doug couldn't be here tonight and asked me to fill in for him. I have contacted as many of the members of the association as I could in the last 24 hours and had some very interesting reports about the start of school. Mount Logan Middle School wanted to share about their pre-registration process, and that really made things go smoothly this year, gave parents and teachers a chance to meet in a way that hasn't happened in the past. They said they had about 95% of their kids there, they think, and the parents come with the kids, so they were able to make connections that way, and that was a very positive thing for them, as well as getting to see where their locker was and where the classrooms were and all those kinds of things that go along with a visit like that. So I think we'll see more pre-registration in the future. Out at the elementary schools, Hillcrest, Adams, and Woodruff reported to me. All of us have had smooth openings, a great start. Kindergarten started today smoothly for everybody that I talked to, and good things going that way too. Over the summer, we had training just recently with Annette Brinkman and Ellen Williams, as you know. The administrators have enjoyed those trainings over the last year. We've gained a lot out of that and had another startup training here that was very positive and productive for us. We also were able to take advantage of having them come and work with all of the elementary teachers in the district and invited our specialists to that meeting as well. Very productive day out at Bridger with them. Lots and lots of positive comments from teachers. I think people that were there were very pleased with their experience with Annette and Ellen. and we're looking forward to really focusing on the Big Eight, which is part of their engagement training that they've given us, and working more in depth on that with our staffs this year. You see I'm holding my iPod. I think all the elementary teachers or principals will be glued to one of these soon. Jed has worked to develop an iPod use of his spreadsheet that helps collect the data that we gather as we go around from class to class, that gets rid of the need for us to carry around pads of paper and go back and tally that in class. Instead, we can just do that as we go from class to class. I've learned in the last week with another application, Dragon Speak, it's really easy to make a comment about that visit and email it to the teacher as you walk out of the room. So both are, I think, will be effective strategies for using the technology that's at our disposal. We also had some great technology trainings over the summer, and I hope you've heard over and over again about the positive impact of the smart board training and the excitement that's there. I know my staff, and I think I speak for all the teachers that were involved with that, have to the person come back and reported to me that just some fantastic things with the smart board training. As I'm out and about in the classrooms, I see those boards on all day. We did not think we'd see them on all day at first. Between the smart boards and the document cameras, the teachers are really finding that an effective technology to be using in their classrooms and really engaging the students at this point. So I think we've made some wise investments in staff development and technology, and some good things happening that way. As far as negotiations go, we're still negotiating, and we're working on a time for some more negotiations, but discussions there have gone well, and I think they'll continue to go well. So that's the administrator's perspective of the moment.
Thank you, Dave. Next, we have the foundation director. Is Shanna here? Anyone representing?
That would be me. I'm representing
Okay,
Shanna
Christy.
Today.
All right.
Sorry. Shanna has another conflict with her child's back-to-school event tonight, so she called me and asked me if I would represent her in case she wasn't here. First of all, just want to let you know that the... what's the golf tournament's name?
The golf tournament.
The golf tournament has a name.
Slough.
Is that what it is? Slough. There you go. That's Slough. That doesn't sound right anyway. But it was really fun. That was last Saturday. We had 16 foursomes which participated. We made about $6,300 after expenses were paid, which is about the same as we made last year due to lowering the expenses of the golf tournament. So that will enable us to put that much into the endowment for future scholarships this year, which is a great opportunity for us. It was fun to see new faces there this year, as well as old-timer people coming. The crew from the insurance company, what's his name?
Educators Mutual,
yes, came on there. He brought two friends from Summit County, and they are South Summit, not the county you're from. Ephraim area, they all came up on their Harley. There you go, South End. I always get those mixed up. They came up on their Harleys and made a weekend of it, so it was kind of fun to have them pull in on their matching Harleys, which was fun. But it was really good time, and catered by Iron Gate. They did a fabulous lunch, and we had fun, and the prizes were fun, and it was a good time. They did have a few less foursomes than they had anticipated, and just because they feel like it's the economy, didn't bring in as many as they could have. So hopefully next year, with some more advertisement, they hope to bring more foursomes in next year. They are having the Fiesta for Funds on November 4th, so please put that on your calendar. That will be at the Harris Hangar again, where that will be another fundraiser for scholarships as well as individual school needs. They'll also be doing eyeglass fundraising at that time. So that will be open to teachers. I think they're still going to give discounted passes to teachers and staff so that we can have as much participation in that as possible. So November 4th is the day for that. And they are working on organizing the books for the superintendent to give to those who met his reading challenge over the summertime. And then the first round of mini grants applications are due on September 7th. And then they will prepare to pass those out after that. And she says that they're just, after the golf tournament's done now, that they will start working on the Fiesta for funds. So it's all good.
Thank
Foundation's
you,
up and running.
Thank you.
And it's oh, did I tell you they awarded 12 students with scholarships last year, totaling $19,000, which was, and we have a couple new scholarships this year, so it's always good to be able to fund those students who would not otherwise have a scholarship to have one to go to their various colleges. So,
thank you.
And Jen said she'll be here next time to give us an updated version from her mouth, not mine.
You did fine. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Fred.
Thank you. We have next on our list consent calendar items. We have the minutes dated June 22nd, June 28th, and June 29th, and August 10th. Any questions?
Yes, sorry.
Okay.
And I was out of town, so I wasn't able to contact anyone on it. I'd just like you to, if I can get to the board book here.
Okay.
I'm not getting back to work. Here we go. Okay, if you go to the last page of the June 22nd minutes.
Page number?
Page number.
Let me find it and I'll tell you.
It's June 28th, so.
Okay, it says.
What,
it's
is
report
it on page
from Superintendent Garrett, and it is on page
10.
Okay. It says, down in the middle, it says, Monday is board workshop. USBA is coming, and the meeting will begin at 8 a.m. with the dinner at 6 p.m. at the superintendent's home. That's not correct. We hope to continue these meetings at least two times a year. We're kind of mixing a bunch of stuff there that needs to be clarified. If you're all right, if I sit down with Stacy and clarify what act, you know, that the USBA delegate session is, delegate assembly is coming, the board workshop will be held with meetings beginning at 8 a.m. with dinner at 6 p.m. at the superintendent's home, because that they were combined when they shouldn't have been. So we need to clarify that. Then I'll just work with Stacy on consistency and capitalization because I know it drives you crazy. If I look at that, on our last board meeting, which was August 10th, if you go to page 15, first paragraph, it says, Literacy Coordinator Lisa Tuscher reviewed the district kindergarten readiness program, and then it says, Joyce Smart, Scott Wright, Liz Wright, ? So we need to make that a complete sentence and just say that they actually talked about the summer programs. So that we just need a complete sentence there that they talked about the summer, the high school, well, actually the secondary summer science programs.
Okay. Through UStar.
Because they
over
UStar. Summer
science
programs.
So that's
right.
What we would need to
add
to
that. And Stacy wasn't there. And it's really hard to do minutes from a tape recording. So that just, we need a complete sentence there instead of just three people's names with question marks.
Okay.
And except for some capitalization, I would move adoption of just that, those changes be made in the minutes.
With corrections, you're going to approve then.
Well, I would
these
move adoption of the entire consent calendar
without the personnel, because you were not able to get that until today's out. It was not able to be opened, so we will pull that at this point.
Okay, motion made by.
Motion to the rest of the consent calendar to adopt those changes.
I'll second it.
All right, motion made by Ann Geary, seconded by Christy Cooley. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. It's unanimous. We'll make sure those corrections get in.
Okay.
And everything is kosher then. Okay?
And then you'll re-release that on board book? Is that how that happens? Do you re-release the amended minutes on
the
board book?
Amended minutes will be on the website is what will be.
But not on the.
If you want a copy of it.
Re-release them if you
Perfect. That'll be awesome.
You can update it in Board Book as well if you want.
Yeah. I just like to keep them on my own personal.
That's not that difficult to take the Board Book part and update it.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
And then we'll do personnel next time, right?
Yeah. Do the personnel next time. All right. Next item under discussion for our board meeting. Zane will update us on the construction projects, their status at this point. Zane, please.
We had one major project going with a little bit attached to it, and that was the parking lot at Mount Logan Middle School. You remember we had that slated to be done a year ago, and when we got into it, we found that was going to be a bigger project than what we had time to accomplish last summer, and so that was put off to this summer. We were hoping to have it all done by the day school started. It was a few days late. I think we opened it up Monday, yesterday, officially to everyone, but it's turned out to be very nice. Believe it or not, concrete was cheaper than asphalt, and we have a better product.
It looks really nice.
And so
it's really bright.
When we got into it, we had a lot of issues that we hadn't figured on that had been covered up over the years that we had to fix. Irrigation line that ran under the parking lot was coming apart. Who knows how many acre feet of water was just going into the ground. That was replaced in the process. There were some roof drains that weren't working right, and a few things. We fixed the grease trap out of the kitchen as part of the process. Anyway, it's turned out really good. We had a budget of about $450,000 for this project. I'm thinking it will be maybe 75% of that before we're done. We've been able to work with the general and some subs to get the prices where we turned out better than what we thought it would be. So the other piece of that was a little piggyback on a fix over at Woodruff Elementary. We'd had some drainage problems when that remodel took place. It turned out that we created a nice ice rink out there in the winter, which was a big hazard for everybody, and so we think we've addressed that. They finished the pouring of that, I think, yesterday morning, and I think that's going to solve some problems for us this winter, too. So other than a few minor things, that's mainly all we had going this summer as far as outside contractors go. We did have our maintenance staff do some major remodeling over at the middle school. We were able to do that with our own personnel. Saves us a lot of money that way. It was pretty dusty mess over there for a while, but I think it's turned out really nice, and we do have some very skilled personnel in our maintenance department to take care of some of those things, so worked out really well.
Okay.
And that's about it.
Oh,
the one project we thought we might get tackled, but is not going to happen until next summer now, is the cell tower at the high school.
If it's
not up. No, we don't get any money if it's not up, but they just ran out of time to be able to get that done. It's something that has to be done before football season starts because the light pole is the cell tower.
You mean they as the Verizon people? Or
yeah,
the
Verizon folks. So it was just a matter of time they got all the hoops jumped through with the city and everybody else. They didn't have time to get it done this year. So they'll get it in the hopper so that as soon as we can next spring. We'll have to wait till school's out, obviously, so we don't have any problems there. But that should be taken care of by this time next year. And they pay for that, so they own that whole expense, and we'll be able to start reaping some dividends from that to help fund our arts programs at the high school beginning next year.
And they're okay about the delay?
Verizon?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fine.
Okay, good.
Okay. Anne?
I've attended a lot of fun things. Went to Bridger's Back to School Night, and it was very, very well attended. Also went with Marshall to do a little presentation one day, and we'll honor that teacher coming up here soon. And it was, what was amazing is I was with in Adams School with Marshall. As I walked down the hall, how many teachers were using their smart boards? And the classroom we went in, the teacher was showing a page that was on the board, and they were doing it together. It was just really quite amazing. We had the USBA Delegate Assembly. I represented our board. Christy was a delegate at large. And we were able to pass the USBA, USSA, and USBO legislative priorities for the coming legislative session. It got a little hairy in places, and we were able to change some wording so that people were okay. But, you know, I think it's the most contentious one you've been to, wasn't it, Christy?
It was very contentious.
So it always helps if you know.
And it's the contentiousness over the smallest things that are just so annoying.
But if you know parliamentary procedure, you can do some kind of fun things, I think. So, you know, I get off on that stuff. So we had that, and it was really well attended. The night before, we had Peter Caroon and his running mate Cheryl Allen spoke to us, and today I hear he presented his education plan for the state. And we also had Representative Brad D. And it was kind of a disconnect because Brad D. said, I'm not running for governor. I guess they couldn't get Governor Herbert to come. But it was interesting to hear what Representative D thought legislative priorities in education would be this year. It was interesting to hear what Peter Caroon thinks about being governor and education. So it was, you know, it really wasn't, what they were saying didn't really make a lot of sense with each other, but what they said individually, it was very good. I learned a lot and got to know those politicians better. And that's all I have.
Thanks. Jim?
I went to Woodruff's and Wilson's Back to School Night, and listened to my wife, talked to the parents. We had good participation there. It was good. Utah State is close to getting started again, and looks like students are coming. So I guess that's a good thing. I'll be able to work another year. So. That's all I have to report.
Thanks, Jim. Christy?
Of course, went to the Foundation Golf Tournament. Still can't remember the name of that. Slough and, is it really Slough in the Rough? Oh, it doesn't sound right. Anyway.
It's just a golf tournament. Just go with it.
I was very disappointed that I did not win anything this year, though. I was really banking on winning something, and of course I did not win anything. I think it's because Marshall and Zane weren't there to support me. So, it was really fun. I had a good time being paparazzi for that event. Met some really fun people. Went, of course, to USBA meetings. I assume that you all got your strategic plan and goals pamphlet in the mail that came out last week. That was 6 months in the making, so make sure you study that carefully. We debated that just about as much as we debated the delegate assembly information. So that's up and coming. Fall meetings are coming up the end of September, first part of October, where we will be talking about board evaluation, which will be a good topic, as well as immigration. And I attended the Freshman Academy at the high school, which was amazing. I was very grateful to go to that and to participate in the first day for those ninth grade students. It really is amazing. It's an amazing thing. And as a parent of a ninth grader, I was very grateful that that academy was offered. It really calmed, I think, lots of kids that, you know, down. It made them feel at ease at the school. It gave them a chance to figure out, you know, what they're doing before the whole masses, you know, arrive the next day. And then I went to Mount Logan Middle School as well. Really appreciated their pre-registration process and picture taking. It was very smooth, and they're doing a good job at the school. And that's all I did.
Okay. Thank you, Chris.
I need to do some more.
Oh, you did.
You did. I wish you'd done some more so I could feel better.
You you do lots. We appreciate it.
Come on,
all right. Lynn?
You want me to tell you what I've done the last 2 weeks, day by day?
Went fishing.
A lot of fish, huh?
I've been in Alaska for 2 weeks. I'll tell you about fishing the Kasila. It was an awesome day catching 40 to 50 pound kings and turning them loose. And I'd like to say that I missed you. But I did. I had an absolute wonderful time of fishing from 5 in the morning until 11 o'clock at night.
Because it was light all that time.
I got more sleep working than I did fishing. I had a great time. And
that's saying a lot.
It was wonderful.
Did you bring us back some?
Oh, we brought back 200 pounds of fish.
Wow. Mm.
Caught lots of halibut and salmon. And
how did you transport it?
Delta.
All right.
You pay them enough, they'll transport anything.
All right. I had fun with the teacher get-together over at the high school. Enjoyed hamburgers and all of the condiments that go along with that and the camaraderie. Also, I participated with the new teacher orientation, Charla Bierman, and made that presentation. I came and talked to 10 new teachers and recommended and commended them for going into the teaching field and gave them some insight as to what the board does and what teachers are required to do, and talked to them a little bit about our district. So that's what I did. All right. Marshall?
Just a few things that we want to go over. We did have a great opening. It was a quick opening. Faculty was back on Monday, and we started school on Wednesday. And so we usually have more days than that for opportunities to get everything ready, but they did a magnificent job in all of the schools. We've had open houses now at all the elementaries with the exception of Ellis, which is still next week on September 1st on Wednesday at 6:30. So if you have some time next Wednesday to get over there, I'm sure that they would appreciate that. 6:30. Hillcrest was a little different than the other schools because they have theirs on Wednesday morning from 9 until 10, and they serve a kind of a continental breakfast for all the family, and it was fun to see how many kids were there and how many kids are coming up. We have a lot of potential students that are from that area, which was exciting to see. A lot of young families and very excited about being there. And the eyes of the kindergartners were awfully big as they were coming down and doing their testing. Some of them were doing that day, and they had a lot of people around them getting on their knees and giving them hugs and making sure that they were okay. It's been also during this time we were looking at our numbers, and right now they're still somewhat fluid because within the first 10 days we are not required to drop anyone because they may still be coming. This is a little unique this year. We are with Utah State not starting until Monday. We're not sure if that's going to have an impact, if we're going to have a flood of students because their parents have gone away and have been away and are now coming back to start their schooling session. So we don't anticipate a lot, but we don't know. And therefore, there are some names of students that our schools are trying to find. They're making phone calls, doing home visits, et cetera, to see if we can nail down our numbers. So far, we're at least above where we had projected, and we're hoping that we stay there. We've had one situation in terms of more kindergartners showing up, which is always a difficult number to project because we don't have a real basis to go from. But at Wilson Elementary School, they had more students show up than what we had anticipated, but we also had one school where the students did not show up, which is Bridger. And we were able to move the teacher from one section, half-day section, from Bridger over to Wilson. And they had four sections starting today. So we were able to get that worked on.
And that was the first day of kindergarten.
Today was the first day of kindergarten, and they had a teacher.
And they were supposed to have how many at Bridger?
They were going to have five half-day sessions and one a full-day session. Now they'll have four half-day sessions and one full-day session.
And Wilson will have four half-day sessions.
And Wilson will have four. As we look at the numbers right now in the elementary, and again, some of these are names on paper and have not shown up, so we have nine classrooms that are over 30, all in the fourth and the fifth grade. We have nine classrooms that are under 20, with eight of those being in the first and second grade and one in the third grade. Again, sometimes in smaller schools, the challenges are when you have 41 kids, it's very difficult to have one teacher for 41 children. So there are some situations where we've done that we've not had to add any other staff at this point. We're watching the middle school and the high school and their numbers. High school at this point, still not sure where they are because they've had about 200 students that haven't shown up yet. And they're again, calling and making sure that they are still coming. And so we'll see exactly where they are with that. We have made some secretarial changes here in the district office in terms of, I've shared that with you, in terms of responsibility in order to better serve our customers. And so we've been working on that, and they're making the transitions this week, and we're moving some things around. Storage areas have been an interesting process, and we're doing some cleaning up, as when there is space, there usually is taken up by things, so we're trying to do what we can to keep efficient and things cleaned. For this room, we were able to secure some funding that we will be installing a smart board in here for training purposes. So we'll have it, plus we'll be able to utilize it for the board. We determined it would be best.
Smart person will be using the board.
Now, I didn't say there was a smart person using the board, but there will be a board that is smart. And we'll have that with an overhead projection system that we can apply for on that end. We are then looking for the ability of also having an overhead projection system this way, again, for training purposes, to make this one a little more flexible. So that will be, the board will be installed here, hopefully within the next couple of weeks. I'm trying to think of anything else. We've, again, thanks to all of our staff for all of the efforts that they've made to make it a great start. We had some challenges, and everyone has literally rose to the occasion, some having to get out of their beds to come. But we appreciate everyone working together, and it's been so fun to watch the kids because they're so excited about being in school. When I went to the sixth grade orientation in the evening, the open house, it was so interesting to watch those kids coming in with their parents, but it kind of hit them that they weren't in Kansas anymore. And it was a little bit bigger building than what they had been used to, but again, the Mount Logan staff just made that absolutely wonderful for those kids coming in, and that day was very, very special, as was for the ninth grade. That is a tradition that we have started. Both schools now have done it for multiple years, and I believe it's one that we need to continue because I think it is making a great difference in that transition process for those kids.
Even if it's just finding their classes without upperclassmen around the bottom. And at Logan High, to find anything is...
Grizzly Academy graduation went well, I've heard. I apologize I wasn't able to be there, but again, at the end of the day, they did that big graduation process, and you made your first day at Logan High, and I think they're excited as new Grizzes and the future Grizzes, current Mountaineers, are up and running, and everything is going well.
Okay. That concludes our board meeting. We need a motion to go into closed session to discuss collective bargaining.
Also moved.
I second.
Motion made by Lynn Hobbs, second by Jim Blair. We need a voice vote on this. Lynn?
Yes.
Christy Cooley?
Yes.
Jim Blair?
Yes.
Ann Geary?
Yes.
Fred Dersch? Yes. So we will now go into closed session, and we'll excuse you. We're going to remain right here. No action will be taken. So it'll be on collective bargaining.
Thank you for
coming. Thank you for coming, everyone.
Are we taking a brief break?
Yes, let's take a how about a 5 or 10 minute break, whatever you need. Let's do that.